When God saved each and every one of you, He put a spirit within you. He put something good within you. But how many of you know that that portion was not totally full? Why would God save His children and leave room for more? I know that when I called out to God to be saved, I had no idea about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand it. I wasn't against it, I just didn't understand it. And as God began to deal with me and teach me and bring me through some things, there was a day that happened, Brother Darren, where God just slain me out in the Spirit. I'd finally totally surrendered, and I was just under His anointing completely. It was a life-changing experience. And when I came to myself, then I realized that, God, when You saved me, You left room for more. That there was more life to be had. There's more joy to be fulfilled. For if He had just saved you and left you right there where you were, it wouldn't be enough for you to continue on. You hear so many people that even question their own salvation. Lord, am I saved? Am I not saved? God, do I have it? Do I not have it? Listen, God gave it to you. It's not something you ever lose. But I want to tell you that if you don't learn to continue to grow in God, you'll feel like that what you have isn't enough or even there at all. You'll begin to question, well, Lord, am I even called to preach? Or am I even called to sing? Or am I called to teach? And the enemy is destroying people because he's just taking their potential to grow. You know how he takes your potential to grow? When you refuse to fight. The greatest defeat I've ever found was not somebody that went down fighting, but it was somebody that chose not to. Many of us are just afraid. Well, what will come if I start being more bold in my Christian life around other people? And what will they think about me if they know that Jesus is first within me? What will people begin to think, Doris, if all that they saw within me was the love of God? David, in his confidence, as we know, slung a stone so hard under the anointing that it literally sank into Goliath's skull. And that wasn't enough. David went and got Goliath's weapon, which, as we read, was roughly about 25 pounds. Now, I have some 25 dumbbells at my house, and I lift them, and it's hard for me to even get one going for like 20 reps. But he took a weapon that wasn't even his and slew the giant. That tells me that he was anointed to do it. Did he have to be strong enough in his body to lift that weapon? No way. There was a Spirit of God that was upon him that gave him all the strength he needed to finish the job. Some of us are fighting the battle and growing weary in the middle of it. If it would have just been him slinging that stone and hitting the giant, that may not have been the fulfilled purpose of what God had called him to do. You see, that enemy not only had to be slain, but it had to be destroyed, not to return. Now, some of us, this may be new teaching for you, but I'm here to tell you that there is a prayer to remove the enemy off of someone, but there is a greater power to pray with that will not only run the enemy off, but totally destroy him. There is a power in the Holy Ghost. As you begin to go through some things and grow up in God, that you'll begin to pray with the power that will not only destroy the enemy, but it will cause it not to return. Now, I want to tell you, some people say the drug addicts always have the potential to return back to the same thing. But I'm here to tell you that's not so, because I realized that not only was my giant slain with a stone, but it was cut off by the head with a sword. And that tells me that the delivering power of the Holy Ghost is enough to cause something never to be able to return unto the same life that it once lived. So I know that every addict that's out there, if they're delivered by the Holy Ghost, there is no potential to return if they will live in the Spirit of God that is within them. There are preachers, there are preachers out there that could preach with a greater power and could preach to not only run the enemy off, but destroy it. But where they're afraid to preach it, the enemy runs right back in. Have you ever seen a church breakup before? Seen people get split up over a decision, over something that happened. And then it seems like recovery's on the way. And then all of a sudden that same problem gets right back in that church again. And I've been through this in many churches. I don't have to say where. I don't have to say when. But I'm telling you, there is a spirit. It's not something that's just that person. Don't ever just look at the person and say, it's all their fault. There is a spiritual battle that's going on that's not just the person. It may look like it's them aggravating you, but there is a spirit within them. I'm teaching tonight. I feel it in the anointing. And if we, you know, the prayers that we have to pray is not just that the enemy be ran off, but that you begin as you pray to command it not to return unto them. So David was sort of halfway where he needed to be. So he was out and he killed the giant. Saul was troubled with that evil spirit, as we know. And there had to be somebody come to soothe him. The very first moment that David ever met Saul, before Saul ever gave him the command to slay the giant, all David was a shepherd boy that could pick a good harp. So as we know, the very meeting place that he met Saul was because of something that he was able to do. God has given us something to do. And it may not look glamorous. And in fact, when he met Saul, he was troubled in spirit. And he just played when he knew to play, brother. And the Lord moved and gave him favor. That step moved him to the next step where he slayed the giant. And Saul began to have a trust for David, thus bringing David up to a place where he could eventually be king. So if I could tell you anything tonight, and this is as honest as my heart can be, you have got to look at what you're going through and realize that it's just one battle you've got to win. And if you can get through that, then God will give you confidence to take down anything that would try to steal your joy from you. My life is now in purpose, not because of anything I ever did, but it's in the confidence that I have of what God's already done. I am where I am today, not because of any weapon I possess or any skills that I have, but it's the confidence that I have in God of what he's brought me from. And I'm able to look at any giant. Man, I feel the anointing of God. I look at my giants now, and I'm not afraid. I have no fear of what's going to come tomorrow. There is a place in God you can get where you won't be afraid of the night. And you'll be confident to know that no matter where your life may take you, no matter what battles we go through, if we trust in God, he will bring us up to where he can use you. Hallelujah. And some of you are at the battlefield tonight looking on at your giant, and I feel that in the anointing. I see it in the anointing. You're looking at something you don't think you can defeat. And God sent you a word tonight. If you ever got one, he sent you one tonight. Oh, he sent you a word. He is giving you a revelation. Some of you are looking at this giant, and you've been here before, and maybe days, like the 40 days, that was the length of time that represented the fear of man for battles we could not win on our own. Some of us may be on the battlefield. Even the disciples had some battlefields. When they were around Jesus, they were confident. Even Peter denied Christ just moments after they had departed. So everybody has fear. Everybody has anxieties. I have fears and anxieties on whether I'm going to do something at my job successful or not. Because as humans, we have the natural instinct to worry. But you know what puts worry to death? The same thing that's in the Bible that says that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So I look back at my life, and I look at all the things that God has delivered me from. And somebody needs to get a hold of this. It's going to change your life. If you look back at where you've been, then when you look at the giants you face now, there is nothing. The Bible says no weapon formed against you, whatever prosper. And that's not because of any talent you have, but it's the confidence and faith of what you've been through. If God has delivered you even just one time, it's enough. For David, it was only two experiences that caused him to slay a giant. He was brought through an experience with a lion and a bear. As you know, that lion was a very dominant creature, not something easily defeated. And that the same anointing carried him through that he was able to be delivered. The same anointing that was upon him when he slew the bear. And it'll be the same anointing that's upon you when you will let God use you in church. Let God use you at your job. And let God use you in your family's home. Because you can be a Christian to your pastor and you can make me feel like you're on top of the world all you want to. But I'm here to tell you that the battle's at home and the battle's when you go out from here. And we've got to learn to live with some purpose. The way that you live with some purpose is to establish what God has called you to do. David knew he was going to be king. And if God has spoken life into you and told you of good things to come, hang on to those promises. Hang on to the promises. Go through some things and let God deliver you out of some snares. Don't just give up just because that bear looks like a rough creature. And don't give up just because you know that the lion could kill many things. Don't give up just because of that, because there is an anointing that is with you day by day. Jesus saw the disciples' fear as they stood on their battlegrounds. They were about to embark in the greatest ministry campaign that we as this world have ever known. We read of their exploits. We try to model our lives to the scriptures they wrote. We live essentially after those that stood on the battlegrounds. And Jesus recognized that they had some fear. He recognized it when the tempest was raging on the boat. He recognized it through all the times, even when Peter cut off the ear of the soldier. He recognized their fear, but he spoke to them before the first trial ever come for Christ. And he said, there's going to come a day when I'll no longer be with you. But as I go away and ascend, I will be sending something to you that will be with you. He said, I will be sending you another comforter. So that tells me that even though we believe in Jesus Christ with salvation, that there is another comforter that if we operate in it, we can be victorious. It's the same Holy Ghost that after the day of Pentecost that they walked in and served God with power. They were able to walk up to people and lay hands upon them and say in the name of Jesus and they would receive the Holy Ghost. It's the same power that we have today. It's 2013. Our numbers may be few and far between, but I want you to know that the harvest is plenty and God's looking for somebody on the front lines that'll be like David was. That'll open up his heart and look back at what he's been through and be able to say, God, I know at the time you brought me out of the bear. And God, I know when you brought me out of the lion. And I know there is a giant that's before me. But God, I know that you'll help me to slay this uncircumcised Philistine. What is anything to our God? What is any debt to our God? What is any sickness to our God? Help me preach tonight. What is any bondage, oh, that we have to go through to our God? What is any lost man to our God? What is anything too hard for our God? Is anything too hard for our God? He said, nothing is impossible unto me, but it is but a small thing, just another trial. There is victory for some of you in this place, and it's not going to come when you make up your mind on Monday. But there is a spirit within you that wants to grow up a little bit. To be made perfect in Christ is to be made mature, seasoned, tried. If you ever are going to handle anything, you have got to learn to grow. And if you really, now we're going to separate some people maybe on this statement. It's the same statement that caused some disciples to walk away from the calling. If you really want to grow, you've got to sell out everything you're holding on to. For some of us, it's problems. Can problems be of worth to me? They can be if you hold on to them long enough. Do we not serve a God that's able to deliver us out of every snare? Let's just talk about the anointing that we walk in today. As we know, when Daniel was in his trial of the lions, the king threw the families of those politicians that tried to dissuade the king, threw them into the lions, and they were so hungry that the Bible says that they were consumed before their bodies ever hit the ground. So those lions were obviously hungry, but the same anointing that was on Daniel's life caused him to be able to sit down in a den of lions and not even have as much of a scratch upon him. Tell me that we do not walk in that same anointing today. Tell me, church, that you don't have enough strength to be able to endure. I know this much. I'm going to walk through some things, and I'm going to win me some battles, and I'm going to slay me some giants, because I'm sick and tired of seeing my loved ones
be beat down every day. I'm sick and tired of seeing churches be brought down by the things to which are carnal. But you've got to learn the battle that you fight. Woo! It's spiritual. It's not anything that this flesh will ever accomplish. But it's when you dwell in the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
God is wanting to pour in a greater anointing for some of you in this place, because He wants you to win. He wants you to mature, and He wants you to be made perfect in the likeness of Christ. You would probably laugh if I looked at you square in the eye and said, I walk perfect. But I'm telling you, church, and this goes for me too, me first, there's a place we can get to in God, often not reached very much, that we can be mature enough to handle whatever is going to come. It's the same way that God lets us be parents. When you're a parent, you have grown mature of the silly things. And when a child takes his bowl of food and slings it everywhere, as long as you don't lose your mind in the middle of it, you'll be mature enough to clean up the mess, clean them up, feed them again. It doesn't cause you to stop feeding them, but you continue to feed them because you know they're hungry. Such is the love of God. As we grow up and as we often fail, He cleans us up through His mercy, and He puts us back on our feet through His love. And as we take that first step, we walk in His grace. There's nothing that we ever go through that does not have God's grace all around us. David, as you read it in the Bible, was walking in grace. Walking in a place that he didn't deserve. Yet God led him through His love. How are we even anointed to preach? Because I'm telling you, when I was first growing up and I heard preachers preach, the first question came to me is, who do they think they are telling me anything about me? That was me being a bitter teenager. Who do they think they are telling me anything? But there's something about growing up that's painful. There's growing pains. There'll be times where we don't see the growth. We don't feel it necessarily. But as you hunger to grow up, God will give it to you. There's some people in here tonight that need an increase in the anointing of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Now, many of us have desired this and maybe even prayed for it before and not necessarily felt a breakthrough. But we're going to teach on this. I want you to understand how you begin to enter in to the presence of the Holy Ghost. There's a part of you that you have to give up. You surrender all your problems. You surrender everything you're facing. And you totally surrender your life unto God. The rich man received a word to sell everything he had and to follow Christ. And he turned away. And it was a sorrowful decision to be made. He wasn't willing to give up himself. As you give up yourself and you're humble before God, the only thing that you have to begin to do is submit wholeheartedly your mind. That means your thoughts, believing in faith that you're receiving it. Your mouth, as you begin to praise the Lord, as you begin to talk to God in a way that you know that you can talk to God. And in your heart, when you surrender everything that's within you unto His Spirit, there is a Spirit all of a sudden will kick in, and you'll begin to talk to God in a language that's not interpreted by the enemy. But it's a language that you can speak to God in. Listen, my prayers would have dried up probably 5 years ago had I not had an increase of the Holy Ghost. My prayer life would still not be strong to this day had I not had an increase in the anointing in my life. You see, God will anoint you and appoint you to win with what He'll give you. So that means the things you're looking at. Pray and stir yourself up through the things you've been through and walk strong before the enemy. For it is enough to win. It is enough to come through it. Don't be afraid of the giant, nor its armor, nor its stature. For I believe that even if David was blind, he still would have won. For we don't walk by sight, church. We walk by faith. We are led by things to which we cannot see. It's an amazing experience. Roston, if it was based on what I saw, I would have failed. I looked at myself in the mirror days and days after drug binging, didn't see any life in there. Nor did I see the promise of a tomorrow. But God loved me enough to not look on my countenance, but to look at the condition of the heart. So you better be praying for people, no matter what you see or what you hear, because God was teaching us not to look on what you see, but to be concerned about what's within. For that's what God is after. He's not after your wardrobe, nor is he after the car you're driving. It ain't about what you wear. Everybody knows that. But as God raises you up, he will give you a sound mind to dress. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the outward of who we are. Just because somebody rejects you when you witness to them does not mean they don't receive it in their heart. Some people that have confessed to me later, Doris, that what I told and what I preached on changed their life, when I looked at their face, I didn't see any connection. So I've learned not to be afraid when I preach, because you never know where it's going. You don't know whose life that you're changing. We want to be in a place where we're strong enough to win. Remember, listen to the command of the Spirit. Go where God will send you. And when it's time to face your giant, he will anoint you to do it just the way he's called you to. I used to be afraid to sing because I knew it wouldn't sound as good as people I'd listen to, you know? And I'd begin to question, well, God, I don't want to sing because when I hear myself, I just don't hear anything special. I don't hear anything good in it. And even today when I listen to myself preach, I still question myself and think, God, there's so many better ministers out there. Why don't you send somebody that will help them? We even question within ourselves, but we can't. That's the enemy's way of trying to tear you away from your purpose. When you get up tomorrow, live with purpose. Look back on the things you've been through, even if it's just last week. I'm telling you, if we're so ungrateful most of the time for the blessings God gives us. Always looking for the next thing, but can't be thankful for the things he's already done. If we'd learn to really be thankful for what we did have, you'd always be on fire for the things you didn't have. I thank God today, Doris, I don't have everything I'm searching for. And I'm not here praising him for the car I drive. But I'm praising him for the battles that he's let me go through so that I'm able to win. I'm not praising him because I'm going to get a house one day. But I'm praising him for the battles that I've already been through. Then I know that if he got me a house that I pay rent on now, that he'll give me a house that I can pay the mortgage on one day. That if he put me in a car to drive today, that he'll give me what I need later. But we've got to learn to thank God not just for possessions. Possessions do not define you. The things you own do not cause you to think that's how blessed you are. But it's being thankful for the battles that you've went through and that God brought you victory in. Then you'll realize that there is no amount of money that God could give you that would ever outweigh the victory of the battle. And you see, to go all the way back where it started, Saul failed because he thought himself blessed on what he could receive and spoil, and God was not pleased with his desire and hunger to grow of himself. Many of us in here want purpose, but do not be deceived by things to which are carnal. Compliments of people will come and go. People that you're looking for encouragement, it may come and go. Phone calls may come and go. Texts may come and go. Somebody hitting you up on Facebook may come and go. Those things are, they're carnal. They're good to have encouragement in, but God wants us to get to a place where we're able to produce within the spirit that is within you. Brother, how do you preach? How do you keep going? How do you continue to preach with zeal? I've been preaching for a few years now, and the new smell has sort of wore off my car, if you know what I mean. I'm starting to put a few miles in my ministry, and I'm realizing now that it's just not how flashy that it was in the beginning, but I'm going forward through the maintenance, through all the spare tires, through all the breakdowns, through every time that it causes me to stop and halt. I just fix it, let God take control, and keep going forward. Learn to live with some purpose, church. Learn to get up in the morning. If you do nothing else, church, learn to get up in the morning and thank him. Joy just doesn't come in the morning and fall out of the sky. You know how you stir joy in the morning? You know why it reads that way in the Bible, that the weeping may endure for the night? that joy comes in the morning. Do you know what that's talking about? That though we may be troubled in dark times, that as we praise Him, joy returns unto the weary soul. Man, I wish that joy would have just fell on me sometimes. I wish I could have known what it felt like just to receive it without a fight. But I would rather put my effort in and earn my pay than just have somebody give me a handout. You want to know why? You see, God, just like the prodigal son, you could have it the moment you asked for it. Prodigal son wanted it from his father. We preached this a few services ago at another church. Prodigal son got it. He was in a house of riches and got everything he asked for. But let me tell you, timing is everything. If you get it before you're ready for it, you'll lose everything. So sometimes you're praying for something and you're facing it, but timing is everything. And the hardest thing we want to do is wait. But if you will face those giants, as God will lead you, when the time comes. I don't know that amount of time that passed from the time David heard that he was going to be king up until the point that he fought the battle that essentially gave him the favor. But there was some waiting. We read in the Bible, it says to stand still and wait upon the Lord. There are seasons that we must wait, that we must linger in His anointing for peace and for strength. Saul failed because he gave up and received things that were carnal, therefore losing his purpose. Some of us may be troubled in spirit tonight, but God is here to deliver you out of it all, to set you free. Some of this may be new to some of you, but I want you to know that there is a spirit within you, that there is room for more. There is more for you to do. You have not arrived. Doors, sometimes people think they've finally got there and can't get any more blessed than they are, but there is room for more. The psalmist that we read all throughout the Bible, in one of his most pinnacle verses, summarized the spirit that he felt within him. He said, "My cup, it runneth over." Because even when you think you can't handle anymore, there'll be just enough there to run you over. That means to tell me, no matter how much we get in debt, that God has an endless supply. That no matter what sickness people are in, whether it's addictions or mental bondage or having a mental disturbance, that God can even move for them if you will walk in His anointing and pray for them. Now remember, as David slew that giant, you've got to learn to not only put that giant down through prayer, but pray with power to destroy it, that it not return. You rarely have people pray and command something not to return, because you don't just pray that. It is a powerful, anointed command. It is something that unless you are walking in the anointing of God, it will not leave your lips. And even if you tried to say it anyway, that spirit will not be, it won't leave. It'll stay. Are you blessed tonight? Are we going to live with some purpose? Get up tomorrow, church, and be thankful for what God has already done. And it'll cause you to win your battles. I'm telling you tonight, I'm ready for wherever God is going to take me and move me on to. I've got to learn to live with purpose now before I ever see that happen then. I don't know what's coming tomorrow, and I don't know what's on the way, but there may be some giants that come along. But as long as I serve Him, as long as I stay close to His Spirit, He will use me and He will move me forward. And you've got to say that and believe within yourself like David did, that He brought me out of the bear, He brought me out of the lion, and who does this uncircumcised Philistine think that he is? That's the confidence of the Spirit. You'll come in here ready to worship. Oh, I won't get on that, I always do. You'll be ready to praise the Lord. I'm glad that God has called some people in this place to worship with some purpose. Lord, help us. If we didn't have them, we'd forget how to worship. We'd forget how to give God any praise, brother. I just tell you all the bad things that's going on, and I don't see any victory, but maybe if the Lord will move it, He'll do it. I don't know. Get caught in the gray area and not see the victory. Thank Him. The meek shall inherit the earth. Those that will be thankful will receive from God. I love you tonight. I wish sometimes that I could stop 30 minutes sooner. I wish sometimes that I didn't say as much as I did. But I've learned one thing, brother, that when I feel it and I hear it, I give it because it's for you. And as I do and fight my battles in this place and onward in my life, that God will bless my home. So as you serve Him, God will bless you.